we could get such an advantage by, you know, now the Emperor wants to be with us. He wants to do us a benefit. We could get much advantage from him. I mean, they've been killing us up till now, but now they want to help us. And they foolishly ran after him. Murmurers, complainers, grumblers. Yeah, and these are the type you find among them. Grumbling. Well, Paul, aren't you complaining? Well, is Jude complaining? Pour out your complaint before God. These are the... They complain against God. Not against the wicked. Their complaint is, well, God, blah, blah, blah. You know, and the thing is, a lot of this stuff, you don't see it publicly. It's what goes on behind closed doors. It's what's going on in history behind closed doors. What's not written in the history books always. Again, men walk after their own lust. God doesn't do anything about it immediately. And so they think he is not going to judge them. You know, their mouth speaks great swelling words. I like that. You know, they got a lot of big, important sounding things to say. And they sure love to be around those important people. Honestly, it comes to my mind, is like, oh yeah, Billy Graham. It reminds me of him. Big mouth. Let me tell you about all the lies that I speak in the name of Jesus. This is what the gospel isn't. I'm just going to give you a bunch of lines of nothingness that ain't going to save you, that ain't going to make you a Christian, but it's sure, ain't I famous? I live behind a steel cage, and nobody can come close to me. Yeah, I hope I offended people. Every one of us has an immortal soul. I remember hearing him say that. I remember only listening to Billy Graham 4 or 5 times, but he was already old. So I don't think he's changed any. He's always preached the same things. Everyone has an immortal soul. The scriptures say God only has immortality. Well, Billy Graham says everyone has an immortal soul. So I guess Billy Graham knows better. That sure is generous, Billy. You gave everyone an immortal soul. Great swelling words. They say things that sound so good, so important, so big. And they love the famous and the rich, the powerful. They're always hanging around, you know? Yes, I'm advisor to many presidents. Now, how many of those guys pick some, like... And the funny thing is, the presidents always pick these powerful ministers. They never pick just, like, some dude. Well, why would he? Nobody wants to listen to that guy. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, the powerful make friends among each other, you know, because they have something they can exchange with each other. They can make the exchange of power. I'll give you power in my kingdom. You give me power in your kingdom. Verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you, there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Remember, they turn the grace of God into this, you know, to where it basically, you know, I've seen a lot of people preaching grace, and they need to preach grace because they're so fat. But they preach a gospel of grace which does not lead you to righteousness. Because grace, the reign of grace, is manifested in righteousness. As the Apostle Paul taught in the last verse of chapter 5 of Romans, and in all of the book of Romans, and in all of his writings. They don't understand what grace is. So they pervert it. They've totally distorted grace to where it leaves a wide open door to all manner of ungodliness and all manner of sin. It's no wonder their ministers are always being caught up in one thing or another. You know, one's sodomizing. One's got strippers. Another one's fornicating. Another one's committing adultery on his wife. Why do you think that is? It's because their gospel is filled with a sinful perversion. They've turned the grace of God into licentiousness. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the spirit. I think that's kind of funny. They separate themselves. Again, this is Jude writing back from the time that he was in. As it is written in the book of Revelation, he says, "Come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity." Talking there about Babylon. It's almost what the Christianity is kind of like that Babylon whore. Like a big old slut walking around looking what it can, you know, get with. Don't worry. I've got my girly condom, Jesus. Just enter here. That's what their religion is. Jesus is going to protect me. I'm going to sin and sin and sin, and Jesus is just going to protect me. That's the gospel, isn't it? But I believe in that condom. It's going to keep the diseases out. It's going to keep me from getting pregnant with Satan's seed, even though I keep lying with the dude. They separate themselves. They disjoin. They're sensual. I mean, it's literally like animal-like. All right, suchikos. Actually, that means like a... Suchi is like the word usually for soul. Soulish. Which to me is almost like selfish. Or like, soul-centered. centered on their own souls. Having not the spirit. I know what it's, I'll tell you what. When I had not the spirit, I was suchikos. Sensual. Devilish. Separating myself. In a sense, when you're around godly people, and you have ungodliness, you want to separate from them because you feel uncomfortable. Alright? As opposed... Now, when there's a bunch of sensual and devilish people, you need to separate yourself from them. So the scriptures say, now not altogether from the sinners of this world, but if anyone be called a brother, be a fornicator, a drunkard, or a covetous person,